Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen, and I thank you for listening to this podcast today. Of course, you can reach me at reallifepharmacology.com. Maybe better is on LinkedIn, as well as mededucation101@gmail.com. Email and LinkedIn are probably the best ways. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions for the podcast, definitely don't hesitate to reach out to me there. With that said, let's cover the drug of the day today, and that is fosfomycin. Brand name of this medication is Monural. And this drug is an antibiotic for infection. I will say I don't see this drug used terribly often. The most common use I have seen it used in is for patients who have an uncomplicated urinary tract infection. So generally, uncomplicated is defined as female, non-pregnant, and essentially, you know, normal urinary function or urinary tract anatomy. And that's kind of the generalized definition of uncomplicated UTI there. With that said, it's really important with this drug. I think one of the most important things with the indication of urinary tract infection is this drug really only is good or efficacious in the setting of uncomplicated and or lower urinary tract symptoms. So if you've got a patient that's potentially displaying systemic symptoms, maybe kind of borderline sepsis type symptoms, and or, you know, maybe kidney pain, maybe we think it's a kidney infection, this drug is not going to work very well, and you're probably not going to want to select this medication in that setting. So that is an important thing to remember compared to some of the other antibiotics like a, you know, ciprofloxacin or, you know, sulfamethoxazole trimethoprim, where they're going to have a little bit better efficacy in the setting of a urinary tract infection that might be getting into the systemic circulation and or the kidney there. So definitely an important point to remember that if you're considering using fosfomycin. This drug comes as an oral packet, 3 grams, and uniquely for uncomplicated UTIs is a one-time dose. So that's definitely different and unique compared to some of the other agents, nitrofurantoin or Bactrim, that we use to treat UTIs. There is an IV product, which I have never seen used, and I believe that is only available in Canada and some maybe some other countries as well. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I have obviously never seen it used personally within the United States where I'm podcasting from. Mechanistically, how does fosfomycin work? So fosfomycin inhibits bacterial cell wall synthesis, and it does that by blocking the action of pyruval transferase. Okay, so that's an important component, enzyme process to bacterial cell wall formation, and ultimately fosfomycin blocks that or inhibits that. So I mentioned the packet, and I think it's important to remember administration things, especially for something like this that's kind of unusual. Maybe you don't see it too often. So it's recommended to be mixed with cool water. So that's kind of a unique thing. You don't want to mix it with warm or hot water. It can be given with or without food. And rarely, or if it's desired to be used in pediatric patients, we may need to use a lower dose than 3 grams, which is the full packet. So here's one of those situations where pharmacy math and calculations all come into play. So recognizing we've got, you know, a 3 gram packet, and if we put it in 3 to 4 ounces of water, let's pick 4 ounces for simplicity's sake. If you put it in 4 ounces, which is approximately 120 mils, that's going to leave you, if I did my math right, with a concentration of 25 milligrams per mil. So then based off of that, depending upon the dose you're shooting for in a patient, if you want to do something other than the 3 grams, you'll need to alter the amount of mils taken in after that mixture is made up there. So hopefully that makes sense, but I wanted to stress the importance of being able to do calculations and getting a comfort level with them for sure. Adverse effect profile, generally pretty well tolerated, I would say, like most antibiotics. You know, GI upset, diarrhea, nausea, those things can certainly happen with the medication there. Again, it's a one-time dose, so, you know, you're probably not going to do much about it if that's encountered, because you're only going to take it one time. Rarely, potential for hypersensitivity reactions. And then, you know, if we've got a patient that we're using it for prophylaxis, or they're on it quite a bit for some odd reason, certainly we've got to think about the risk of C. diff infections, diarrhea, things like that. So those are a few of the adverse effects. I would say overall, generally pretty well tolerated. Kinetics are important to remember. So this drug needs to get into the urine to have its action of blocking that bacterial cell wall synthesis. So from a kinetic standpoint, this drug gets into the urine actually unchanged, and it's about 30 to 40% of the drug gets there unchanged, and then obviously has the action of helping to kill bacteria. Now, in patients with poor renal function, which is oftentimes a lot of my patients in geriatrics, we've got to remember that can increase the half-life. So basically, more of it'll hang around in systemic circulation for longer. However, because of that, we do get lower concentrations to the site of action, which is, you know, out through the kidney and into the urine bladder area. So we can have lower concentrations in the bladder area, which is the site that we're trying to treat the infection. So that does potentially present a problem. So patients with poor renal function, we've got to keep an eye out for maybe an increase in systemic toxicity, and the possibility, as that kidney function gets worse, that there is the chance we could have less efficacy as well there. So, and, you know, cutoffs in the literature reported, I think it was, you know, between 50 and 60 mils or less, you may start to see less of that drug secreted or concentrated into the urine to have its antibacterial effects there. Just quickly speaking, you know, just a reminder on urinary tract infections and the common bugs that cause urinary tract infections. So gram negatives are overwhelmingly the most common cause. There are a few gram positives, but phosphomycin has activity against definitely the majority of those gram negative bugs. So E. coli, Proteus, Klebsiella, Serratia, and it also, I believe, has some activity against gram positive bacteria as well. Certain gram positives, like Enterococcus, for example. Okay, so it does definitely have that spectrum of activity of the most common UTI causes, and E. coli is the number one bacterial cause of urinary tract infections, of course. Okay, so let's take a quick break, and I will finish up on drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material, like pharmacotherapy, ambulatory care, geriatrics, medication therapy exam, medication therapy management exam, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. In addition, if you're taking the NAPLEX soon, we've also got resources for that over at rxgrad.com as well. So all those links at meded101.com/store. As I get into drug interactions here, I definitely want to remind you about my recent drug interaction book, as well as my food drug interaction book that have recently been released within the last 6 months to year here. So definitely go check those out. I'll have those links on meded101.com/store. The drug interaction book is also available as an Audible book. So you can get that for free if you've never tried an Audible book as well. And again, all those links at meded101.com/store. All right, so finishing up on those drug interactions. So one really nice thing about phosphomycin is there's not a lot of interactions. No CYP3A4, CYP2D6, none of that. So that is really, really nice and convenient. There's a few interactions as far as unique vaccines and potentially blunting the effects or the response to that vaccine, like cholera and typhoid. Drugs that speed up the gut, so prokinetic agents, as they're sometimes called. So a drug like metoclopramide, for example, that may actually reduce absorption, which could ultimately, reduce the amount of drug that's getting to the site of action and reduce effectiveness. And one last one, I do see patients taking probiotics on occasion. If you think about, antibacterial activity and using probiotics, that's what we're trying to do, is provide the body with those good bacteria. Certainly giving an antibiotic can, alter, diminish the effects from probiotics. So, and, I'd make the argument that, the benefit of probiotics is a little bit controversial. It depends upon, what you're treating or what you're trying to do with that, of course. But it is important to note if a patient has really felt like they've benefited from probiotics, that antibiotic or phosphomycin in this case, as we're talking about, could potentially alter that effectiveness of that medication. So again, pretty low risk in general compared to other medications on the drug interaction profile. All right, so that wraps it up for today. Go to reallifepharmacology.com, get the free top 200 drug study guide of no cost to you whatsoever, simply for subscribing to the podcast. We also shoot you out emails as far as when we've got new content available, such as the podcast today. If you enjoyed the podcast, do us a big favor. Leave us a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That's greatly appreciated. Again, if you want to reach out to me, LinkedIn or MedEducation101@gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, any questions about, study materials, anything like that, feel free to track me down, certainly. So I'm going to sign off for today. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.